reading to you from 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter and 11th verse. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 49 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God gone to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Oh, friends, thank you, thank you, thank you for praying for us this last Sunday at the Jefferson County Prison. 16 men gave their hearts to Christ. Oh, I never saw so many tears. When the quartet started singing, God's Holy Spirit began to work in the hearts of those men. And I tell you, then when the invitation was given, 16 gave their hearts to Christ. It's all because of people like you who take time to pray. You say, Cecil, I'm a nobody. Oh, but if you know Jesus, you're a somebody. And oh, I love to have people call and say, Cecil, we've been a-praying for you and the quartet and your wife. Boy, it means more to me than you'll understand. Well, listen, I'll be with you for 29 minutes. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Tonight, friends, I'd like to talk to you about the conditions of discipleship. You know, and if this sounds like I'm bragging, God forgive me, but it isn't. When I took my first church in Oregon, I was scared out of my socks because I didn't have a lot of education, I didn't have seminary, but God really forced me into this job. Yes, He did. Because there was nobody there to take the job. So I took it for $100 a month. I don't know how many pastors today would take a job for that kind of money. That meant I had to work all the time supporting my wife and my five children. Well, the first year in that little church, God saved 50 men and women. Now, was it because Cecil Moe was a great preacher? Oh, on the contrary, I was not. Still am. But I'll tell you right now, I visited those people. I went and had coffee with them. I talked with them. I visited their homes. And when they had problems, I sat down and I talked to them about it. Because I remember when I was a baby Christian, the millions of questions that I had for our pastor and our deacons and our Sunday school teachers. Well, let me start off by reading Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now, you can read that 1,000 times in 1,000 ways, but it comes out the same. You have to deny yourself and take up his cross and follow him. Well, as I said, you heard me say many, many, many times, I sure never planned on being a preacher, nor did I want to be a preacher. But, oh, dear friends, how I thank him daily for calling me to preach, because though I'm not that greatest big, I love, truly loved, to share Jesus. Now, last Sunday over there at the prison, here these men were. We had a good-sized crowd. Quartet was just singing their hearts out. And I got up there to speak. I saw the tears in some of those men's eyes. And I told them, I said, "Men, the reason that I'm here tonight is because I love you guys. And I want you to know that God loves you, and there's hope for you, and God has a plan for your life. I don't know what it is, but He has a plan." I said, "Did you know there's a vague possibility that somebody in this meeting someday down the life's journey, God may call you to be a preacher? But if you do, you have to be very careful, because it is something you do not take lightly." Oh, when I was going to Bible college in Riverside, California, back in the 50s, Some of these young preachers, they were raised in the preacher boys, they were raised in the church, and they didn't, and thank God they didn't go out and live in deep sin. But Mama kind of encouraged them to be preachers. Friends, listen. Preaching is a call, a definite call from God, just like salvation is. Now, there are people that preach that are not called of God. I remember in Japan, when I was over there preaching, and there was four or five preachers went with us and their wives, and we went and we held revivals in different parts of the Japan. There was a man on that thing, but on the plane, but he was a preacher, said, and his wife wasn't with him. Well, somehow there was something about him that just did not add up. Oh, I don't mean I didn't like him. He was a very likable person, but there was something that was just not right. Well, on the plane coming back from Tokyo, the gals come around and passed out wine. And, of course, none of us preachers took any wine or our wives, but he did. He took a bottle of wine, and he gave me the funniest look, and I gave him a funny look, and he drank it. Well, it really upset me because I just can't see that. Now, not everybody feels that way, but I am. Being a converted alcoholic, I hate alcohol of any sort under any condition. Oh, about a year later, a friend of mine and I was in a restaurant having dinner, and in walked that fella that I was on the plane with. He hollered at me, come over, and said, Brother Mo, I got to talk to you. Guess what happened last Sunday? What happened last Sunday? He said, last Sunday I got gloriously, gloriously saved. I want you to know that was something. So there are a lot of preachers today preaching who are not called of God. And if he'd have realized what it took to be a preacher, there's a good possibility he wouldn't have taken it. In Luke 14:26, it says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother, his wife and his children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Oh, renunciation. Oh, my dear friends, let me tell you. The first time I ever heard that, I had not been called of God to preach. But if I had, it would have probably disturbed me quite a bit. Well, after I received my call to preach, I was told by every man in our church, oh, Cecil, you got to go to seminary. Friends, seminary does not a preacher make. Sounds funny, that's right. Seminary does not a preacher make. God makes a preacher. God calls a preacher. God anoints a preacher. And if we're willing to humble ourselves and ask him, he will help us to do what we're supposed to do. It's just like if you're out soul winning. Don't think for 5 minutes that you're on your own when you're soul winning. You better not be on your own. God's Holy Spirit is preparing the hearts of the lost person, and he's preparing your heart to witness to him. That's right. We need to depend on God's Holy Spirit to reach a soul. I cannot reach a soul. All I can do is tell them what I have found out and what I know, and God's Holy Spirit does the rest. No, we are soul winners per se, but Jesus and the Holy Spirit is the one that does the work. Remember, children, we are just messenger children. That is all that I am, and that's all that you are. Well, I recall I got a job in San Francisco, roofing, because that's what my trade was. And I remember the night at the Greyhound bus depot as I kissed my wife and my kiddies goodbye. My heart was so heavy, I thought it would break. Here I am leaving my wife and my kiddies behind to go out and get an education so that I might be a preacher. But you see, it wasn't long after about $300 worth of phone bills that I told my wife, you and the children are to load up what you can, and I'll meet you in Portland. I'll fly and meet you in Portland, and we'll go down to California. See, when God calls a man to preach, he calls his wife. Now, this you may not believe, but my wife, after I got into Bible college, didn't want me to be a preacher. And I asked her why. She said, because I don't want to share you with anybody else. Friends, it is not easy to be a pastor's wife. And if you're a pastor's wife, you're going to amen me on that, because you know it's true. Because your husband's on, a real good preacher is on call 24 hours a day, just like a doctor. And we have to go, and we have to do. We, you know, there's just a lot more to a preaching than just preaching. Oh, my stars, that's a small part of it. You have to train people to be disciples. You have to raise funds for the church. You have to help those who are calling deacons. Oh, yes, there's a lot more. And I'll say this, and you've heard me say this a lot of times. I take my hat off to God-called pastors, because your job is a whole lot harder than an evangelist. Oh, yes, it is. Now, we come into a church fired up. We preach revivals. We preach evangelistic matches. People are saved. And then when the revival's over, we leave. And that poor pastor is stuck with his people. In Luke 14:33, it says, "In the same way, any of you who do not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." Friends, I think I told you about this. We used to live in a little 5-acre farm up in Lennon, Washington. Oh, the house wasn't nice, but we sure loved it. We had a barn, we had a cow, we had a garden. And if we didn't, we would have starved to death. Anyway, one time I got a call from a church down in Anacortes. That's a very, very ritzy town. A lot of rich retirees live there. They said, "We want you to come be our pastor. How we can only pay you $100 a month." That seemed to be top dollar for me. I said, "Well, I'll take it, because I know you need someone." They needed a pastor. Struggling small church. My wife and kids had went down. They'd found us a little house down in Anacortes. My wife and the kids, they were down there. Stayed all night and cleaned it up. And I stayed at the farm the last night. Oh, friends. About 11 o'clock, God woke me up. I got up and I looked out that big old plate glass window and those three big fir trees in our front yard and our lawn. And the memories just flooded my soul. Those were the happiest days of my family's nice life. And we have to give it up. I told God, "Listen, Lord, you're the boss. We're going to go." But I remember what a hard thing that was for me. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. God wants us to be steadfast. He don't want us to be hot, cold Christians. I know a lot of hot, cold Christians. Man, one day they're up on a mountaintop. The next damn their day, they're down in the valley, down in the gutter. Let me give you some advice on that. The higher you get, you won't go down so low next time. And then you go a little higher, and then when you go down, you won't go so down so far. John 8:31, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples." Jesus told us to love one another. And sometimes that's not the easiest thing to do, is it? Oh, no. People hurt you. I remember a lady in our church, bless her heart, I said something one time about smoking. She blew a gasket, boy. She was going to have me fired because I was meddling because she smoked. I hadn't referenced her. Listen, I'll tell you right now, and I don't care who's offended by it. When I go by a church and I see men and women stand out there on the front smoking cigarettes, I get physically sick in my stomach. What a disgrace. The Bible said our body's the temple of the Holy Spirit and should not be defiled. That's right. And I know when I smoked how terrible I felt. I knew it was sin, and I knew it was expensive, and you know what? I've lost a fourth of my breathing capacity in my lungs. I suppose that's why I'm on oxygen today. I don't know. Well, in John 15, it said, This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Friends, when you're out witnessing and sharing Christ, you're bringing honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. The other night at the restaurant, the quartet, and I stopped to eat, and we were witnessing and sharing with this waitress. And you know, she saw a joy in their hearts and lives. She saw a joy in my wife and myself. It's not hard to present Jesus if you don't have a long face. But if you go into a place grumpy and mean and hateful, no one's going to listen to you. Put a joy in your heart. Jesus gives us a joy. When you're a disciple of the Lord, you're in the will of God, and God makes you happy. I'm telling you for sure. But you know, God follows. It tells his followers that he blesses them as he promised. John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." See, when you're a disciple, you have that. And you know, he says in John 10:27, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Then he says in John 12:26, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servants also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." And last but not least, 1 Peter 2:21, To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad I'm a disciple. Have I always done what God wants me to do? No. Have I always been right? No. Have I tried? Yep, I sure have. Oh, I've failed the Lord. Oh, yes, I have. And if you say you haven't, you're a liar and the truth's not in you. Because every one of us at long time or another have failed the Lord. Friends, listen. God tonight is looking for soul winners. That's right. He's looking for soul winners. He's looking for witnesses. Could he depend upon you tonight? Why don't you make this year the best year of your life? Go out and tell people about Christ. Carry some tracts with you. When you go to a restaurant and leave a tip, leave a track. Let them know that you think they're the best waitress in the world, and you want to honor them by giving the good news of salvation. Well, maybe tonight, my dear friend, maybe tonight, you don't even know Jesus. You go to church, you read your Bible, you go to Sunday school, but something is lacking in your heart. Could it be Jesus? Are you trying to live a Christian life without Christ? Ain't going to happen. There's nothing more miserable, and there's nothing more dangerous than a Bible in the hands of a fool. Friends, listen. I'm not the meanest man in the world, but I'll tell you right now, I do love people. I love to tell people about Christ because that's what he called me to do. But every born-again believer has that call. Don't call yourself a disciple if you don't love people, if you don't share, if you don't go out and tell. If you're a selfish-hearted person, ask God to reveal it to you and repent of it. Open your heart and your pocketbook to the lost and to the hungry and the poor. I'm not saying that to ask you to send me money. Oh, no, no, no. That's not what I said. Give to the poor and the needy. Help those who are helpless. And friends, tonight, if you don't know Jesus, and you feel a real tug at your heart, supposing God is calling you for salvation, if he is, you know it. Bow your head to me right now and pray this powerful prayer, but don't pray it, friend, if you don't really mean it. And here's how it goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me tonight for Jesus' sake. And oh, friends, if you prayed that prayer, get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. 303-471-8534. Let me talk to you. Let me pray with you. If you feel I can help you spiritual, be sure and call me, will you? I love you, but more than my love, God loves you. And he wants to give you eternal, everlasting life. I'm waiting for your call.
Standing all alone before you on the throne, on the grand and glorious day. In the book beside my name, all there be that I can claim will be the thing that I gave away. Thing that I gave. A friend took the time to kneel and pray. happy place is anything at all. In my cup will be the things that I gave away. Stop to help a man who needs a helping hand. He had fallen by the way. It is written in the word as was spoken by the Lord. These are the things that I gave away. Things that I gave. A friend took the time to kneel and pray. If he places anything at all in my cup, will be the things that I gave away. A robe for his back, some bread placed in his hand, and a cup to drive his thirst away. Back to me everything that I gave away. Things that I gave away in the name, for a friend took the time to kneel and pray. If he places anything at all in my cup, will be the thing that I gave away. If he places anything at all in my cup, will be the thing that I gave away.
That was my good friend Bill Adelong. You know, I'll tell you the truth. Bill Adelong and Tex Freeman are both laymen called of God. They go to prison, have been for years and years. I don't know how many services they hold. Sometimes they hold 8, 9 services on Saturday and Sunday. And they put some pastors to shame. But you know why they do it? Because, first of all, they were called. Both of them have been successful in their lifetime. They're both hard workers. I hate to admit that to them, but they are. They're both hard workers. And the Bible just makes it so very plain in the scriptures that we need to follow him and to tell people about it. Did you know it says here in 2 Corinthians 9:10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your stores of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. We need to be fruitful. Well, friends, I need to tell you that our mailing address is Mo Evangelistic Association, 9621 South Burberry Lane, Highlands Ranch, 80129. I got something for you to pray for about. Really serious. You know, I've always hated to mention money. I don't care on my broadcast. I know that if people don't help us financially, we can't go to prison. I know that. Well, I've got an opportunity. I'm searching it out. I've got an opportunity to raise some funds without being a, I don't know what you call it. But anyway, you would send an offering of $15 and you'll get 50 minutes, free minutes of telephone time. It's a promotional, I know that. But my stars in the morning. See, I'd be giving you something. You'd be sharing with me and I'd be something to pray about it, will you? I would appreciate it. But if you'd like to help us with our prison ministries financially, just sit down and write a check and run your and listen, friends. We'd be the first or anyone else to know that we can't do this without help, and we just hate to discuss it. But we want to win souls. Last Sunday night, 16 men gave their heart to Christ, and we rejoice. God is good, and God's faithful, and he'll do for us which we can't do for ourselves. Well, friends, for the past 29 minutes, I have to stop and think about that. Your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening tonight. And oh, I pray that we said something that encouraged your heart. I tell you, friends, you will never fail if you serve the Lord. But don't be a phony. Don't be one of these head-believing so-called Christians. You have to transfer that belief from your head to your heart. Have a real, genuine, born-again experience. and find out what this abundant life is all about. Yes, sometimes you have to walk by faith, but that's all right. I walk by faith and have for years. I don't see nothing wrong with it. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors, stay sweet, keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus. It's coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.